Now today, we're going to look at the importance of a good roof. And what I think about a good roof is that how we deal with a spiritual covering in our life. A spiritual covering. You know, we all like a good roof that repels water, but also I believe that if we have a good spiritual covering, a good roof over us, that's going to be able to repel some of the attacks that, you know, come against us from time to time. We're all going to be attacked. Now, I don't know about you, but nothing bothers me more in life as far as dealing with a house or a building or this building here worse than a leaky roof. For whatever reason, that is the biggest pet peeve I have. I hate it when the roof leaks. Now, you know, roofs are supposed to protect us from the elements, you know, and to be able to shed those things. And, you know, we've all seen those funny movies and stuff about people trying to do a fixer-upper and they got all the kitchen pots and pans sitting around the house, you know, trying to catch it. Some of you won't remember this. I haven't Googled this, but Ma and Pa Kettle, remember them old shows when you were a kid, or some of you when you were a kid, some of you weren't even born yet, but, you know, Pa wasn't too big on fixing things, and Ma was kind of had to do all the work, and Pa just sat there, old Ma, you know, talking like that, and, you know, but yet, you know, the roof was leaking, but never done anything about it. Now, I love to be able to look outside and to see it raining, but my head's dry, and that water's being repelled, you know, and the importance of being able to. Now, my roof needs to be replaced. I'm getting really close. I'm kind of living on the edge right now at home, and I got some ideas what I'm going to do. You know, I just read the story of a millionaire hired this great architect to build his mansion, and he had all these prominent people over, and they were sitting down at the dinner table, and it began to rain. And all of a sudden, a drip came down on the millionaire's head and was hitting him in the head. So he got on the phone and called the architect. He said, "Hey, the roof you put up there is leaking. It's falling right on my head." The architect said, "Well, move over a couple feet." You know, that's what a contractor will do. You know, take the easy way out. Now, when we built the church, we made a few mistakes, not too many, but one of the mistakes was that we had a leak over there. Right on that side. Really bugged me. It didn't show up all the time, just every now and then. So finally I found out what it was. We have a plumbing boot right there, and that when somebody was putting the shingles on, they accidentally knifed that rubber boot. And every now and then when it rained, it just hit it right, and we would get water coming down into the church. I mean, it's before we finished off that area. All that bothered me. It bugged me more than anything till finally, you know, I had a guy I know that's a buddy, and he went up and looked around, and finally he found it, just replaced the boot, and haven't had a leak since. So there's things that you and I can do to fix our problems. Don't think that any problem you have that it can't be fixed. Because every family has problems in their life. We all have things that we have to deal with. Remember, we talked about the idea of how sometimes many different personalities coming together under one roof can make things kind of exciting. Now, the scripture that I want to look at today is found in Romans chapter 13, and it's in verse 1 to verse 3. It says, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." Then it says in verse 3, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the information and the impartation and revelation that you're giving us today in our hearts, Lord. We thank you that we want to be able to sit at your feet and be able to learn. Holy Spirit, we know that you're the teacher. You're the revealer. You're the one who brings truth and exposes that so we can see. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you give me, Lord. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we're going to look at this from a little different angle today. And, you know, it might make us a little bit uncomfortable, you know, but that's okay. because I think that sometimes, you know, when we're challenged, it'll help us to be able to grow more. Now, authority is like a roof. It's a spiritual covering. And we all need them in our lives. And well, I've mentioned before that the spiritual covering we have for this church is AFCM and Jim Caseman Ministries. You know, we are under their covering. We submit to them and they can speak into our life. And, you know, we give them that right. And that's what it means is when you submit to an authority. Now, the problem is sometimes that we have a misunderstanding about what authority is and how we interact with it. A lot of us has probably had an experience, and it's probably a bad one, with authority. Maybe you had a bad boss. Maybe you had a bad teacher. You know, maybe, you know, you were raised in a home where authority was kind of abusive and it was more dictatorship than it was anything else. So what happens when those things come into play in our life, then our response to authority can be somewhat negative and we look at it as a bad thing. But I think if we look at it from God's perspective, you know, we'll get a greater understanding, and it's going to help us to walk in a greater level of authority ourselves. Now, rebellion is very easy, but submission is hard, really hard on the flesh. The last thing your flesh wants to do is to submit to the authorities and what they have to do. Now, I, for myself, was born in 1959, so I grew up in the 60s and 70s. You know, and, you know, I don't know if some of you maybe read about the 60s and 70s, you know, some of you younger people. Now, some of you are old enough to remember some of that. But my experience of it was a little bit, you know, on the wild side, you know, because to me, now a lot of people don't believe this, but to me, rock and roll and rebellion go hand in hand. They do. Because some of the songs that they sing, it really stirs you up on the inside. It can. It can really get you out there so you don't want to, you know, submit. When I was young, you know, don't trust anybody over 30. That was a thinking. I'm serious. That's the kind of thinking that and the philosophy that a lot of the kids in the 20s and, you know, when we're into that kind of music. Now what amazes me is all these heavy rock and rollers are in their 60s and they're still up on the stage. You know, some of them have a walker right now. But they're up there kind of rock and rolling with their walker. So they call it walk and rolling probably. But anyway, they're still trying to do it. You know, I don't understand. But anyway, they're having fun. You know, as a kid, you know, we thought with rock and roll and all the rebellion, don't let anybody tell you what to do. You do what you want. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. And that's good in some ways. You can be all that you've been called to be, but you know, if you have that rebellious attitude where you can't tell me what to do, well, that's not going to bless you. You know, rules are made to be broken. That's a product of the 60s, man. The 60s. You know, I remember, you know, seeing all these. You know, I was raised on a farm and I was pretty sheltered for a long time till I got my driver's license. You know, and then the whole world was exposed to me. We lived about 17 miles out from Albion. So I wasn't exposed to a lot of things other than what came through on the black and white TV. And watching, you know, things that were happening in some of these concerts and stuff, it was just beyond me. Just seeing a lot of the things, you know, that were happening. You know, one of my favorite bands back in the day, and to be honest, they're still out there today, I don't understand it, is AC/DC. You know what I mean? You know, their beat, I just love the beat of their music. And one of the songs I would play continually over and over, 8-track tape, until that thing wore out, and then I'd go buy another one, you know. And I had this old panel van that I had to go out and work in, and we'd be people piling in there, and we'd be driving around, and there's no seats back there, and they'd be getting thrown around, you know, but they all had fun. And we would play this one song, maybe you'll recognize it, "No Stop Signs, No Speed Limits, Nobody's Gonna Slow Me Down. Highway to Hell." And that was the epitome of the 60s and 70s growing up with rebellion. Because I guess when I was a young man, the concept of no stop signs or speed limits really appealed to me. You know, I loved that. That was exciting. But fortunately for me, I hit an exit ramp and that took me on another path. And that's what saved me and delivered me from that lifestyle. Now what's happened after the 60s and 70s is that my generation is in charge now. They're the ones who's maybe calling the shots or making many of the decisions that are going on in life. And, you know, and my generation in that process many times have kicked God to the curb, as I've mentioned. They don't want any rules. They don't want to have to submit to anything. They just want to do what they want. And I don't know about you, but this is one of my favorite commercials, and I've mentioned it here before. Do you remember that commercial? I think it was a cell phone commercial. I can't remember. And the CEO was sitting at his desk, and he had an assistant with him. And he was talking, and this big, high-ranking CEO of the company says, "I like to stick it to the man," meaning he was getting some big discount. And then his helper said, "Sir, you are the man. You are the man." That's how far rebellion goes in our life, is that no matter what the case is, we don't like to submit to authority. We like to make sure. Now, submission, on the other hand, is God's idea. Submission to authority is God's idea. He's the one who put it out there, and it's in the Bible. Now, you and I would say, well, I can submit to God. You know, that's no problem. Well, I don't know. Sometimes it is a problem. But see, God just didn't say, you know, submit to him. But he said, also said that you and I are to submit one to another. Now, in this church, as the pastor, I'm the leader of this flock, this congregation. And in a way, if you're wise, you will submit to the authority of the office that I hold. Now, when I go to your house, does that mean I'm in charge? No. When I go to your house, I submit to your authority. If you want me to take my shoes off, I take my shoes off. Whatever the case may be. Why? It's your house. So we all have to learn to submit to each other. I say, well, I'm the pastor. I don't have to do what you say. Yes, I do. I have to submit to you, and you have to submit to me. It's a give-and-take relationship. And a lot of times, you know, in our families, we don't understand that concept. We've kind of went away from it, and we're going to look at that. Now, verse 2 says that when we reject authority, we are opposed to God and bring condemnation to ourselves. And I wonder if that's why that you and I and our culture and our country has some of the problems going on that we have going on. Because I believe that proper understanding of how authority works really helps us to run smoothly. Now, I probably can look out here and say that probably nobody here likes getting a speeding ticket. When you see them red lights flashing in the back, oh, praise God, this guy's doing his job. I was breaking the law, and he's going to give me a ticket. Woohoo! No. You're mad. But if you're sitting in front of a school zone ready to pick up your child from school and some maniac comes driving through there 80 miles an hour and that all of a sudden you see the red lights chasing that guy down, you're saying, praise God for the police, you know? I love the police. They're doing their job because we need that so things don't get out of line. So authority is good as long as they don't mess with us, right? That's really human nature. As long as authority doesn't mess with our stuff and make me have to be uncomfortable, then I'm good with it. And we need to get beyond that. Now, but we need this authority in our life for society to run smooth. You know, I remember, you know, getting saved. And before I got saved, when I seen the police, you know, I get a little nervous. You know, because maybe I had something in my car I wasn't supposed to have. And if I got pulled over, well, process elimination, you know, get in trouble. Just the way it was. Well, after I got saved, I seen the police and it just amazed me. It didn't bother me anymore. You know, just a change of perspective in life. Once I learned what it was like to submit to authority and how good it was, and you know, that, you know, after I got saved, I seen that the police was there to really help. You know, to protect and to serve. You know, I never read that. It's in small print on a lot of the cars, I will say that. It's not really in big, big print a lot of times anymore. But, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, so we need to understand that. So as my generation now has become parents, have we become parents, you know, we need to look now and remember that a roof is like a spiritual covering. And if we have holes in our roof, we're going to get the elements coming in. The water's going to come into our house. And now we're also going to have a spiritual roof. That's how the enemy comes in. I want to challenge us with this one point here. You know, if we model rebellion to our children, is it any wonder that they are rebellious to us as well to other forms of authority? Got a little quiet. You're not laughing no more. But it's true, ain't it? I've made this mistake. I know. I've dropped the ball in this. And an example of that might be is that if our kids hear us bad-mouthing their teacher or their coach, is it any wonder why they don't respect their teacher or their coach? I really feel that that has a correlation. And I know I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with me. It hurts me just as much. I mean, when I felt the Lord challenge me to share this, you know, it was painful a little bit. Because I know that sometimes, you know, I maybe didn't like the way things were going. But yet, I lost the idea of what it means to be in a proper perspective about authority. Not all authority is perfect. We know that because we all have a sin nature. But nevertheless, far as affecting our relationship with God and how that works, and that changes, you know, the perspective. Now, I work with kids a lot and really love it. But most teachers would probably admit this. You can tell when a child is quoting their mom and dad, can't you, in class? Kids say the darndest things. All they just do. You just never know what's going to come out in class or on the van, the church van. We have a rule. Whatever happens on the van stays on the van. You know, that's just the way it is. That can be pretty chaotic in there. But I tell them, if they say something that I know they're telling family business, I says, you know, that's something maybe your mom and dad just want you guys to keep to yourself, and I wouldn't really share that with the rest of us, you know. I try to help them, you know, so they don't, you know, break that confidence. You know, nothing big. You know, every family has stuff they probably don't want everybody to know. I mean, that's just common. That's just the way it works. So as we're dealing with this authority in our life and how we interact with it, now I'm just skimming the surface on this. I'm going to fall back on this in the next, probably after the first of the year. I want to do a teaching on spiritual authority because as we understand that, it's going to catapult us to the next level in our walk with God. And you'll see as I share a scripture here in a minute, you know, what that's talking about. Now, there is room for disobedience, as we've looked at earlier in the year. This year we talked about that, how the apostles were commanded not to preach Jesus by the authorities. Well, they had to weigh that out. And they said, no, we're going to obey God rather than man. They got beat up for it, you know. So there is that. So we all have choices, what's good authority, what's bad authority, and how we approach that. But for the most part, what I want us to look at today is the idea of, so we don't develop a rebellious attitude and let that rebellious attitude affect our children. Because it will affect the family atmosphere, the chemistry inside the family. Because every kid, as they go through the hormonal change in their life, they're going to be a little revved up anyway. We all know that. But it's just going to, you know, multiply the problems if we, on the other hand, are promoting rebellion and we won't submit to authority ourselves. You know, we can't really, I'm sorry, I don't feel I can actually get my kids to respect my authority if I will not respect other authorities that's established in our culture. You know, I've had some good bosses and some bad bosses, but I always knew that they were my boss. And my job, now a lot of people won't agree with this, my job when I worked for somebody was to make them money. That's why they hired me. I'm supposed to make them money. And I've always had that attitude, and God always promoted me wherever I worked. Because I really felt that was my problem, or my thing to do. Now, other people maybe have problems with that. They always think, well, the boss is making too much money. I need a piece of that pie. Well, then ask for a raise. You don't get a raise, move on. Go somewhere else. Go someplace you'll be happy. You know. But my responsibility was to be a blessing. And that's very important. And if as Christians, and if we show that, if we show our children that we respect our bosses, and that when we see the police doing something, and oh man, and the kid says, oh, that policeman's just catching somebody, give him a speeding ticket. He's just doing his job. He's trying to make the road safe. That's all you got to say. Just plant them little seeds in the kids' hearts, And that's going to help in the long run in proper understanding of authority. Now, does that mean we, you know, promote Hitlers? No. We can have conversation about that, right? People who are, you know, dictators and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, the kind of authorities that you and I are dealing with. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, things need to run in order. How many's been standing in line and somebody comes from the outside and they cut way ahead of you? Is that right? No. It bothers you a little bit, don't it? Why? They cheated. You know? And so as we're helping our families and helping our kids to understand how the flow of things work that betters a society, I believe it's going to help us. Now, in closing, we need well-defined roles. Well-defined roles. And what all does that entail? Now, there's a scripture. It talks about one place in Matthew is that the centurion was there and he had a servant or that was sick, and he came to Jesus and he said, just speak the word. I have people under me in authority, and I'm a man under authority. He understood what authority, how it worked. So if you want to be in authority, you have to be under authority. And if you are supportive to your leaders, God will exalt you and put you in a position of leadership. And that's what we need to understand. If we get that in our, and we instill that to our children, I think most of us want our kids to rise to the top, don't we? We want our kids to be promoted. We want our children maybe to have more than we have. And to do that, if they learn proper working techniques on how the system really works and how to be a blessing and watch God move in their life and start to see the promotion and how things work, then they're going to be successful. You know, next we need to submit to God and His Word, as we looked at the concept of the cornerstone last week. You know, how important is it that we put God's Word into our families? Now, I encourage families to do devotionals, especially when the kids are younger. You know, get that instilled in their life. You can buy devotionals, very inexpensive. We have some in the library. That's that room back over there in that corner. We have books in there. You can check out any book you want. Just sign your name on the little notebook there and date it. And then when you bring it back, scratch your name off. And there's several devotionals in there that you can take home and you can read with your family. And, you know, maybe 7 days a week might going to be a bit much to start off with. Maybe 3 or 4 days a week. You know, we purchased some when the boys were especially younger, like 2-minute devotionals. And we try to hit them, you know, before they went to school. And those are really good. Just plant them little thoughts and seeds and remind them how important it is, you know, to submit to God's Word and get that Word of God. The Bible talks about hiding the Word of God in our hearts that we don't sin against Him. Next, how we do it is as I mentioned earlier, we need to model that submission to our families. You know, and that's where it gets a little more difficult. You know, as our kids see us submitting to someone, they will see it's okay. Because what happens is that, you know, kids especially, a lot of them are insecure, right? Insecurity doesn't want to submit because you think that you're better than me. And I don't want to let anybody else know that you're better than me. So I'm not going to submit to you. But if we understand the idea and model that to them, that it's okay to submit to somebody in charge. Like when I go into something to do, let's say we're having a work day before I became the pastor. Now I'm forced to be the one in charge a lot of times. I prefer not to all the time. But, you know, that's another story in itself. But I would go to a place and I would try to find the person who's in charge. I say, what do you need done? You know, because I knew they had the big plan. And things go better when somebody's in charge and kind of directing the troops. And that's very important. We can explain to our families again how authority brings safety and security and order to our lives, on how important it is to have that in our life, that we need that. You know, a lot of people don't like, but, you know, chaos. I don't like chaos myself. I don't like things just being totally, everybody doing what they're like, you know. And, you know, when you see things just getting totally out of control and, you know, and things just, people just wailing on each other or chaos and, you know, just taking advantage of each other and trying to cheat each other. I mean, it just doesn't work. But if we understand that, you know, order, like, you know, what amazes me, you know, the old rule, you know, when you pull up to a stop sign, it's a four-way stop, and or like you're pulling out of a big parking lot, say at a ball game. Let's use that one. You know, different lanes take turns, don't they? I mean, that's nice, isn't it? Have you ever seen anybody not take their turn? You know, somebody from the right goes, and then somebody from the left goes, and somebody from the right goes, and then somebody from the right thinks they're better than everybody else, so they got to go right behind that person. So they jump their turn. You know, just think if everybody on the right just kept going, nobody else could go. You know, that would be rude, wouldn't it? It'd be wrong. You know, but if we train our kids and show them that it's okay to be polite, it's okay to submit to authority and submit to each other, and they're going to start to see that, then it's going to help them to grow. And lastly, we are blessed based on our response to authority, and that's where it gets a little painful. The Bible says, he who knows what to do and doesn't do it, it's sin, right? So now, in saying all this, there's still room for being disagreement about something. That's not what I'm saying. There's ways to do it, I'm sure, through your places you work and the policies they have. If you have an abusive boss or things like that, there's things you can do to rectify that situation, you know. But I just want us to be able to deal with that spirit of rebellion. You know, Satan, he was an angel of light in the beginning. And he got kicked out of heaven because of rebellion. You know, so God takes rebellion a little bit serious. And, you know, the children of Israel, when they rebelled against God and they would chase after other gods, you know, that's when they got sent off into captivity and all these problems. So I want us to be operating at our peak spiritual performance. You know, I believe in, you know, sometimes this is my thinking, and you know, it's wrong. I try to catch myself, but, you know, I think, well, I'm a Christian. Everything's just going to be okay. I'm a Christian, so everything just ought to be right. I've given my life to Jesus. I pay my tithes, you know, and all these other things. But, you know, I wonder why sometimes things aren't working quite like God says in the Bible. So then I have to look, and I said, whoa, maybe there's something in my attitude. You know, maybe there's something in me I need to tweak a little bit. And that's all good. It's a learning experience. It's growth. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's what the blood of Jesus is for. Repent and go on. Amen. Let's pray.